RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back, everybody, to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh. I don't know what you want me to say, but I'm Josh.
Just hang on. We'll get to that in a minute.
Okay. All right.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on the various episodes. So, Josh, really, all I need from you this week is I just need you to tell me your secret. I just need you to confess.
I don't know what you want me to say.
We do it every week. Well, every week that the show's on. You know what? Maybe I can jog your memory. We will just do the episode here. And as it comes closer to, you know, as you say things that are closer to what I need you to say, I'll prompt you and try to get you to confess.
Okay. All right. I don't wear pants while I'm recording.
No, you
wait. No, that's not that. That's not a secret, is it? Okay, all right. I'll keep thinking. I don't know what it is, but I'll try to figure it out.
All right. Well, why don't you, while you're thinking about it, if you can multitask here, why don't you tell us about this episode?
What's my other task that I'm doing? Oh, thinking. I got you. Okay. Wasn't sure what you were referring to. All right. Well, this episode 17.
Put your pants back on, man.
Occurred back in season 5. And if you're listening to this 20 years in the future, this was season 5. It was called Capuchin. Capuchin? I'm trying to say it the way he said it, but that's what it was.
Good luck. That's about as close as I think we're going to get.
All right. March 22nd, 2017. For all of our robot overlords that are listening in the future. It was written by Brian Ford Sullivan and Emilio Ortega Aldrich. And directed by Kevin Tancher-Owen. There's a lot of really long names in this week's episode.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking as I was watching, if Adrian Chase opened a spa, and he might call it Prometheus, right?
Mm.
Mm-hmm. It would have very comfortable concrete floors with security chains, so you don't lose your belongings, you know, or yourself.
Right.
Plus private rooms with real iron bars, which I've heard, like Himalayan salt lamps, neutralize electromagnetic radiation. That's what those iron bars do. They offer a wide selection of massage and relaxation services, such as an arrow through your shoulder, underwater breath-holding exercises, gladiatorial confrontation, and tattoo removal.
I believe that last part is complimentary.
I think so too, yes. Yes, we're certain that a visit to the Prometheus Spa trademark will help you find who you truly are and admit to yourself your innermost secrets and desires. Well, since Adrian Chase put our hero through all this and more, it gives Oliver ample time to remember his time with the Bratva, when he helped Anatoly become the new Parkhan. I can't say that either. Parkhan. Parkhan.
That's pretty close, I think. Pretty good. Yeah.
Okay. Well, after gaining power, Anatoly has to decide whether he should honor Gregor's deal with Konstantin Kovar or try to stop the maniacal Russian mob boss once and for all. Because Kovar has plans to take over the Russian government by killing a group of dignitaries and officials with sarin gas. But what really needs to be stopped is the monster growing inside Oliver. Oliver! As monster inside. That's what makes him keep doing that thing with voice. He's getting darker and darker and more vicious by the day as he takes out Kovar's men. Ah, memories. You know, it's always fun to reminisce your time in Russia. Well, finally, after all this retrospective thought, and plus a little torture, Oliver admits to Chase and himself his darkest secret. That he's not wearing a shirt. No, that's not his. That's not a secret either.
I'm Batman.
And that may just spell the... This is serious. I can't laugh. And that may spell the end of the legacy of Green Arrow.
You have failed the city. Oh, wait. Now I'm not supposed to do that part yet either, so...
No, not yet.
Well,
not
yet. You know this was 5 years ago in Russia because sarin gas was, you know, really big back in 2012, so...
That's so 2012.
I know. It was like
nobody uses sarin gas anymore. Come on.
Really, everybody was stealing sarin gas at the time. So, well, before we get into the show and talk about all this other stuff, which I think there was a lot of interesting things that you brought up there that I do want to talk about, and maybe even some things you didn't, I need to say something special to you. This is going to be my – it's not really a confession. It's more like what's like the opposite of confession? I guess
you're
like
shoot me in the arrow. Shoot me in the shoulder with an arrow again?
No.
Oh, okay.
Happy 4th anniversary, Josh.
Oh, jeez. I totally didn't forget.
I didn't get you anything, though.
You didn't?
No. But 4 years ago today, we released our first episode of Green Justice.
We
weren't really recording right there at the beginning, but it was 4 years ago. This weekend, I guess, and so
it wasn't because we were watching the show, and as it progressed, we were like, "This is cool. We should do something with this."
Kept talking back and forth about it, and it doesn't seem like it's been 4 years.
It doesn't. I did get you something here because it's our 4th anniversary. The traditional 4th anniversary gift.
Yep.
Is silk.
Oh.
So I got you this green silk hood.
Nice.
I'm sorry, just green silk capuchin. And the modern anniversary gift is appliances. So I bought you a new TV to replace the one that Oliver smashed last week.
Oh, well, that was very thoughtful.
Well, you're welcome. Yeah.
That's really the only reason I bring this up is just so I can get stuff.
Just so you can get stuff? Okay. Oh, okay. Well, I want to see you wearing that green silk hood.
So also, we'll let you know Arrow will be on next week, but they will be off, in 2 weeks, the first week of April for, I'm assuming it's their spring break, week that they're off.
It's not an episode where they go to Cancun.
Yeah. I really wish they would be off the second week of April because that's when I'm going to be out on vacation with you and 50,000 of my closest friends in Florida, but we'll figure out something to do for the Arrow episode that week.
Yeah, we'll do something.
So, well, as you mentioned just a moment ago, capuchon, technically capuchon, I guess it's spelled differently. I can't pronounce the difference in the spelling. The title is spelled with an I in it, but when I looked this up in a Russian dictionary, it spelled with a Y instead, but it means hood, which is what Konstantin Kovar translated for us in the episode. That was very nice of him for all the non-Russian speaking members of the audience when Dmitry mentions capuchin, that he says, hood, and, you know, in his best Russian accent that he can do as a Swedish guy. So... I also felt, just mentioning Konstantin Kovar, I didn't see this in the previous episode with him, but I felt he was doing a Marlon Brando impression of The Godfather as a Russian mobster in this particular episode. I felt there was more like vocal distress or something. He was trying to put in the way the cheeks were moving and stuff like that. So
yeah, kind of had the jaw jutting out a little bit more in this one, you know, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lifting his head. Yeah. Channeling his inner Marlon Brando there.
Yeah. So, well, so I kind of wanted to talk a little about just what hood would mean. I obviously there is the physical hood that Oliver wears, the cloth drape that goes over his head. And, you know, that's what he's been wearing that since season one, when he got it from Yao Fei, right?
Is that who gave him the hood? Or was it Shadow?
Wasn't
no, I guess maybe
it was
Shatter's
dad, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess maybe it was Yao Fei. All right. Because
when he died, I don't know if he gave it to him, but when Yao Fei died, he got it.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, this season that we found out in the flashbacks that Talia had kind of told him how to use that hood and the persona that it creates in him to, you know, do the things that he needed to do and basically protect Oliver Queen. So this putting on the hood, you know, turns him into this monster, as we talk a little bit about this week. But it also, you know, it kind of protects Oliver from being implicated in the nastiness that the hood, you know, the things that he performs. Also, I believe it was the first season that they were calling the character the Hood.
Yes,
in Central City.
Definitely.
Correct.
I think it was maybe Malcolm Merlyn that said that first when they were sitting at a dinner table when Oliver was back. And I think it might have been Malcolm Merlyn was the first person to use the name the Hood, or maybe he was just saying that he had heard him called the Hood or something. But that's the first person I remember mentioning it.
Yeah, that's true. I remember that dinner sequence. I don't remember the exact explanation, but I remember Oliver jokes about something like that he, you know, is glad he's not called the Green Arrow or something like that. I seem to recall that being a joke at that point because they weren't calling him that.
Yeah.
And they were saying that they weren't going to call him Green Arrow. I might have to go back and take a look at that now, because with Malcolm Merlyn also being in this episode, I'm interested to see how having Malcolm introduced at this point of the timeline prior to Oliver's rescue and not knowing who killed Kovar or almost killed Kovar, as we find out, it'll be interesting to see what, you know, maybe Malcolm knew more than he was letting on and from the first season, and that we're going to get some more information.
Maybe so. And yeah. Also, we've been talking all this season about how this reflects season one. Mm-hmm. So this episode was called The Hood. Malcolm Merlyn was in this episode in the flashbacks talking to Kovar, and he was the one that first called him The Hood. So that's kind of an interesting kind of reflection. I don't know if that was intentional or not, if it was just coincidence, but it reminded me of that connection that we've been looking at with season one.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And the other thing that I think this episode does, and that the last couple episodes here have been doing, is the writers and the producers are giving us more information each episode about the existing plot lines, but what they're telling us can change the perspective of how we have viewed events up to this point. And this is probably the most interesting episode because it has given us information about Oliver that can change the way we've looked at Oliver now for 4.5 years, which, you know, we knew where he was coming from, and we know where he's been in the non-flashbacks from season one and season two, right? You know, where the character is. But, you know, we didn't have all the information about what Oliver's lived through. So I'd really be interested to see a chronological edit of the flashbacks, you know, that lead up to the show, because it really informs a lot of information about Oliver, you know, what he's gone through. And, you know, if we were to go back and watch the first few episodes after the end of this season, knowing everything that happens to him in the flashbacks and all the information we've gotten now, you know, we probably would not really like this character as much as we did like him, you know, due to the fact that, you know, he really is not a nice guy.
We want our heroes, the people that we view as heroes, and in this case it would be Green Arrow because he's supposed to be the hero. We want them to do the right thing, even when they make mistakes, even when they make bad choices, which happens from time to time with everybody. We want them to make up for those mistakes. We want them to atone for their actions and take care of any problems that they caused.
And grow.
And grow from that, yeah, and become better people continuously, you know? And like you said, if we had known what we saw in this episode in that first season, we might not view him as a hero. I had a hard time viewing him as a hero in the flashbacks of this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the fact that he, you know, even though he was killing people in the first season, we felt, I mean, I don't want to talk for everybody else, but I guess I felt that he had some justification, but really we're coming to learn that that justification was relatively flimsy. Apparently the people were doing bad things, but you know, now as we've learned, I mean, you know, Oliver really just wanted to do it.
Yeah.
I guess.
I'm wondering about that. Let me say this. Son, one other thing about him being the hero in this. Did you feel, as you were watching these flashbacks, that Oliver was not the hero, not the good guy in this? To me, it was Anatoly. Anatoly was the one trying to get him to come back from this, trying to become he was trying to stop Kovar from taking over the Russian government. He kept trying to tell Oliver to stop what he's doing. It's turning him into a monster. He was the one that was taking over the broad. I mean, to me, he seemed like the good guy.
Yeah, I mean, Oliver's going in there. It's like, you know, I've just learned how to take the flesh off of somebody, and you know, it's going to hurt. So you better tell me what you want. And when Anatoly comes in, it's like, this is horrible. Why did you do this? And it's like, it must have taken him a long time to confess. And Oliver's like, nah, he confessed pretty quick. I just needed to finish the practice.
I didn't even touch him. He just told me. I threatened him. He's like, okay, I'll tell you.
And then I went ahead and spilled him alive anyway. So,
but yeah, the one thing that I didn't think represented the hero, the big good guy in Anatoly, was that, you know, he didn't fight Oliver much on his convictions. You know, he's like, you need to stop doing this, Oliver. No, no, I'm good. I was just, you know, I got a hood. It's all good. Don't worry about it. The guy told me if I wore the hood, it's fine. No, no, you need to stop. But oh well, whatever. All right. So that was the one thing that I thought Anatoly didn't, you know, fight him very much on. If he really believed that he was going to a dark place, he kind of let him go there.
Yeah, and you know, you can see. Well, I think there's still a little more friction that's going to develop between Anatoly and Oliver, because based on the present from what, like 3 or 4 episodes ago, when Oliver and team visited Russia, Anatoly and him are not on good terms, you know, whatsoever.
No.
So
no, he was upset with him about something.
Yeah. Yeah. Also just, in terms of the hood or the word hood to describe Oliver, hood also can mean a hoodlum, you know, a criminal or a vigilante, as it were, which, you know, Arrow has been accused of being that, you know, first season and stuff like this. But I also think there's a metaphorical hood that we're talking about as well. A hiding, you know, like what I'm thinking of is kind of like the hood that you use on a hunting bird, right? You put the hood over it to keep it calm, and then you take it off and then it can attack. Well, it's kind of the reverse for Oliver. He's in normal mode, but then he puts the hood on and he becomes this, again, as described in the episode, a monster. That's when he unleashes his inner beast, and gives himself the permission, I would say, based on what we got from this, to go out and kill, you know, which is, it's just a really shocking. I mean, I'm still having trouble like processing this, I guess, the revelation, the fact that he admits that he really wanted to kill and he likes killing. Given all the things that he's struggled with, you know, over the past few seasons.
Well, let's assume for a moment that what he's saying is at face value, that he does, that he did want to do it and that he liked it.
Okay. Well, just to play devil's advocate or get clarification here, why would you say let's assume? Because the stuff that we saw in the present where he's admitting that to Adrian Chase matches up to the things that Anatoly was telling him, you know, I see you like this. You're really like it. He's like, no, it's not. And Anatoly was really saying, no, you need to be careful.
Well, and I'm not even saying he doesn't. I'm just saying let's think like that for just a second, that he does that he is enjoying the killing. Okay. So he uses that hood as almost like a double personality. You know, I'm almost seeing this as a dual personality disorder kind of thing.
Okay.
Where he's justifying what he's doing when he wears that hood. That doesn't really match up with what we've seen over the 5 years. Because it's not always when he's wearing the hood that he does that. You know, I mean, he works out without the hood. He fights sometimes without the hood. He thinks as a team and they get together and they brainstorm and stuff, and he's not wearing the hood. And I know that those seem like little semantic things. Well, that's just real life. He's not going to wear it all the time. Yeah, I get that. But this is where I was going with that. So what if that's not really the case? What if Chase just pushed him so far that that's just kind of how it seems? He has been antagonizing Oliver all season by hurting his friends and loved ones and, mocking him almost by the killing that he's done and the damage that he's done to a point where Oliver almost believes it himself. He has doubted himself all season long. Every time that Chase gets the upper hand on him, which is every single time so far, he fills him with self-doubt. So what if that's not true?
He's gaslighting him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's almost like he's brainstorming him to believe it himself, you know, and he pushed him so far. And this is how you do it. This is how you push people far. You back him into a corner. This is how I do it. but this is how you push people so far, is that you back them into a corner where there is absolutely no way out.
I was going to ask you, like, I had always wondered how you met your wife. So,
well, no, that's how she, that's, yeah, I mean, she,
oh, is that how she got you?
Yeah. And I finally admitted that. no, but he, when he pushes her, pushes him over the edge by what Oliver thinks is, you know, the death of Evelyn.
Yeah.
And he cannot get out. I mean, you see him physically, you see him when he stands up with those chains. It's not just the chains on his arm. He can't reach out and strangle Chase right there. I mean, you can see his body is rigid. It is stiff. It's leaning forward towards Chase, and he can't go any further. You know, I mean, this is not like a Steve Martin in Three Amigos. Let's pull the weights of the chain, and maybe I can do it again. He is locked dead in there. Gonna make it. Gonna make it. Ow.
Amel really sold that.
Oh my gosh! Well. It's just when he leapt up like that, and it was like he was just like frozen solid from those chains. That really hit me, the way they presented that. That's what I'm thinking. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't know. Maybe Oliver is in that dark place, and he was doing some nasty stuff back in Russia with Anatoly. And that is definitely what it looked like on screen, is that he has gotten to this place. But I'm almost thinking, no, he really just believes he's there. He believes that he's ruined the lives of everyone he's touched, and he believes that he was enjoying it because he felt, as he was doing it, you know, he felt like he was making a difference. But now Chase has put that doubt in him.
Well, also, I mean, I guess you could also say that, like you pointed out, that Chase has been drilling all this stuff into him. So he says that, and that gets Chase to stop. But what is the psychological impact of admitting that, regardless of whether it's true or not? And I hadn't really gone this far to think about this. I really kind of only took it on face value because just how intense the episode was. But, you know, because I want to talk a little bit about where we think the characters – are going to go, and like, you know, how could he come back from this? And if it's not really true, but it's only, you know, an out, it might be a, you know, a truth from a certain point of view, to quote, a space opera.
yes.
But you know, it is a struggle for him. He's always had trouble with this darkness, with this monster, and, you know, trying to keep it at bay. I mean, I think there, that's a popular struggle for people to put with certain superheroes. You know, obviously, you've got Batman, like the Punisher, Daredevil, other examples where you've got these people who are, they struggle trying not to go too far. And that line is constantly shifting, and they have to be careful because it's very easy for them to step over it, and, you know, commit atrocious acts. And up until point, we thought Oliver was kind of on the mend, but I don't know now.
See, and that is definitely what it seems like. But I think about that, and I look at that, and has he been trying not to go to the edge, or has he been at the edge because he thought that's the only way he could do it, but he's been trying to not do that? I mean, for a long time, we have seen him trying not to kill people. You know, he has.
Right. We did two seasons like that, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but he didn't go back to killing people because, you know, he had a relapse in an addiction. He went back to killing people because he couldn't figure any other way out. He couldn't figure out any better way to save people from dying. He had to kill Damian Darhk because Damian Darhk was too powerful. He was winning. He was killing people. He was going to kill everybody.
And winning.
Yes. And Charlie Sheen, when he shot Charlie Sheen through the chest with an arrow.
Oh, well, that makes me feel
in a very special 2.5 men. No,
I think that was okay. That was, totally justified. No, it's you're right. I mean, it's he didn't have these other choices, and the information that we had at the time showed us the struggle that Oliver was going through. But if we assume that the new information that's been revealed is really kind of what's in Oliver's psyche, the secret that even he won't admit to himself, I'm sure there are things, you know, about you and myself, we all have things that we don't like about ourselves that we won't even really admit to. Everybody else knows about it, but you know, we can't say it, because if you say it, that makes it real. You're bald, by the way.
Okay, whatever. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So.
Thinning.
thinning. You're very, very, very thin. So, you know, it's providing us some new information. Like I said, it just gives us that new lens to kind of reexamine what we think we know about the character, which at this point of the game, given where we've been with the character and the faults that I think we saw in previous seasons, it provides an interesting new way to look at it that, again, is trying to reinvigorate a character we've been following for 4.5 years. Like, how do you keep the show interesting for 5 years, for 6 years, for 10 years? And it's making character changes that, you know, by providing more information at a later date. Now, we'll have to see in the next 6 episodes, is this something that is real, or is it imagined, or is it, you know, kind of somewhere in between?
Now you're talking about what's true, like whether
what's real. Like, is this really true about Oliver? Or, you know, is Chase just faking him out? But what I'm also getting to is that I'm reinvesting myself. I'm getting more into, well, this is really interesting conversation to have about this character and what can we do with him other than a musical episode, which I don't think would work at this point. I think it would take the focus off of what's important. So,
probably on this series. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other series works pretty well though.
Yeah. Agreed.
So now, and I don't want to think, I don't want it to sound like I'm justifying what Oliver has done.
Oh no, matter of fact, I don't think so. It's an interesting,
yeah, but I mean, that's not really my argument, you know, is that saying, well, you know, he's done all these great things. It is really just for me. I'm not sure if that's what he truly believes. I don't know that necessarily fits with what I've seen him do for the last 4.5 years. I just think that, and maybe I do try to look on my heroes as, you know, you don't want to admit your heroes are not who you think they are. Real life, it's, I think, even much harder. You know, I mean, in real life, I think we have a hard time doing that just as a culture in general.
Never meet your heroes.
It's hard. And you don't ever want to admit that they're wrong or that they would ever do anything that goes against who you thought they were. But, you know, with fictional characters, I think you don't want them to be a certain way. And so that might be why I'm looking at this, because I really want to believe Oliver is the hero. I really want to believe he's the good guy and that he wouldn't feel that way. And maybe that is why I kind of thought about it longer and harder. But I was also trying to think, well, wait a minute. This show's been renewed for season 5. And
Six.
Yeah, excuse me. Season 6. And so they've got to go somewhere or it's going to be a really boring season.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting for us to kind of revisit this discussion as to, you know, where he's going and stuff like that.
Sure.
Think though,
over the years, what he's done, what his goals have been. He, number one, you know, we said he's tried to stop killing, but he's also tried to walk away completely. He tried to walk away with Felicity and go to live in suburbia and he was fairly happy, happier than she was. You know, she kind of pulled him back into it. So I just don't think that it's been something that he's enjoyed the way that Chase made him say. I don't think it's something he's enjoyed.
Okay. The killing, you mean?
The killing, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And the pies that he made with Felicity.
He didn't enjoy that?
Okay. I don't know. Maybe Chase made him admit that he did not enjoy the pies.
Okay. Well, this was an interesting episode also because we got like 90% flashback, 10% real world or real time versus normally we get like 10% flashbacks. So yeah.
Or less.
Yeah. Everybody gives one sentence and then they cut away from the flashback. To help out everybody, what was going on in the flashbacks, we kind of gave an up-to-date point. I was mistaken last week. I thought that Gregor was actually dead last week, but he survived a few more minutes to into this week. But Oliver's mission to kill Kovar ended here. He did that, or so he thought.
Ish.
Yeah, he's dead-ish. So with Kovar, I found it kind of odd that all of a sudden he's not dead and he's like, ugh, and he opens his eyes. It was kind of very Frankensteinish. And the fact that Merlin was there and involved with whatever business deal they were having, I thought it was like something having to do with Merlin setting up something for the undertaking, but it could
be. Me too.
Yeah, it could be something else, but I'm wondering if with Kovar not actually being dead, you know, that's going to cause a risk and a problem for Anatoly and Oliver. And if that's going to set up something in these last 6 episodes, that's going to force Oliver going back to the island or something like that. Or I don't know. I'm just trying to kind of think where I feel like we've done everything in the flashbacks except get Oliver back to the island and in time for him to grow his beard and everything like that. So in the next 6 weeks, What's going to happen in these next 6 episodes that is going to take us full circle back to that first scene we saw in 4.5 years ago?
Oh, man. I love the idea that it has something to do with Kovar. I didn't even think about that. But it very well could. I thought Oliver reached in and ripped the dude's heart right out. I mean, it sounded like that. Mm-hmm. I know he slashed his face for sure, but how Kovar is surviving, I don't know. But then again, Merlin has been trained by the League of Assassins and has, you know, at this point in the timeline, knowledge of the Lazarus Pit. And, you know, I don't know what kind of access he would have. He wouldn't have access necessarily, but maybe he has some secrets that will help you if you've been recently slashed in the face and almost had your heart ripped out.
Yeah, he had a little vial of Lazarus Pit with him or something.
Yeah, well, it comes in like capsules. You know, like okay. Little gel capsules so that you can swallow them more easily. But I don't know, maybe like it's some sort of a trick, you know, like a Mr. Miyagi kind of thing, but League of Assassins. Yeah, I love the idea that Kovar might have something to do with getting back to the island.
Yeah, I don't know. It's I really enjoyed Dolph Lundgren in this episode. I thought the fights were pretty good between him and Oliver, and the fact that Dolph is just, I don't really realize this. I mean, I know this, but you don't actually see it a lot. He's just a huge guy. When he puts his hand on Oliver, it's like an adult, a normal adult, just, you know, putting their hand on a child. It was just the scale was so different and stuff like that. So I don't really know. I was thinking, well, we saw that Deathstroke mask, so maybe like they gave him some of the Mirakuru or something like that, and he's going to put on a Deathstroke mask that Oliver kills. But maybe that Deathstroke mask, I can't remember if that mask that we see in the very first episode where it's on the stake with the arrow going through the eye socket, if that was the same one from season 2 or if that's a new one. So I don't know. There's a lot of questions in how they're going to connect it all. I'm sure they've thought about this part long and hard. Hopefully it will feel right and not just really be jarring or something like that.
Definitely think they've been thinking about it long and hard, but yeah, I'm with you. I think they've got a plan. I think they've had this plan for a long time, and I think they'll make it work real well.
Well,
plus we have to end the flashbacks this season. This is this is it for the flashbacks.
Yeah, which is awesome. I mean, they said this is what they want to do, and they're doing it. So that's really cool. So in the real time though, this is the end of the Green Arrow. He says he's going to hang up his hood, his capuchin. And so what does this mean for Oliver and for the rest of the team? Is he really, like, next episode, or are we just going to see the mayor, you know, like, I talked to the Green Arrow and he's never going to bother us again kind of thing? Or
I don't know. I don't know if he'll say that, but I definitely think we'll just see the mayor. I think it'll be the team trying to talk to him and telling him how wonderful they've made the city that keeps exploding every May and where people die, and your mother and your father.
The producers said that they're not going to have a big attack this May. They know that's kind of become a funny joke on the show, but they're going to, you know, take it easy. It's not going to, it's going to be a little more personal.
It
seems like. So
I was kind of thinking back to what has occurred and what Prometheus has done this season. And I think it's all been personal to Oliver. Now, you've had a couple people die or get fatally injured because of Oliver, like Captain Pike, and then Detective or
Billy.
Billy, yeah, Billy. You know, and he did, but again, they had connections to Oliver. There may have been a few people that died in Star City that didn't have the connections. Cause I know, wasn't there like just some lady in a house or something? Wasn't that?
Oh, well, there were the people that Prometheus killed at the beginning of the episode or at the beginning of the season to draw Oliver out. The ones that he killed, that their names were anagrams for people that were on the list.
Yeah. So, and I guess that's still because of Oliver. So,
and it's, Prometheus' just, his wife. And
yeah. Yep.
So. Oh, but yeah, geez. You're right. I mean, it is. It has been a much more introspective and personal season in terms of the villainy and the villain's motives and stuff like that.
The one part of the season that was more mass chaos and gang violence kind of thing for the citizens of Star City was Tobias Church.
Right.
But he took care of Tobias Church too.
Right. And relatively early on. Yeah, I agree. I think the team is going to, you know, they're going to try to talk Oliver back. I'm sure Diggle will have a little sit down with him and, you know, debrief him, and Curtis will say some encouraging things, and Felicity will try to, you know, say that, well, I've got all this information in the Pandora data that we can use. And everybody will be like, oh, Felicity, you're horrible now. and she's going to go off on her own. I totally believe they're setting her and Helix up to be bad guys for next season, though. I do think that.
Really? Felicity?
Yeah, huh. I feel like they're going to. Oh, by the way, just as an aside, she gets a costume on Legends of Tomorrow next week in an alternate timeline. She's actually a superhero. So, love it, hate it. It just FYI.
you take Legends of Tomorrow for what it is, man. It is just pure comic book fun. That's what that is. So
yeah, but I think they're setting her up, and I don't know, Evelyn. I was kind of surprised to see her brought in this episode, and I was shocked at first, and I didn't realize that it was a trick. But when you kind of look back on it, it totally fits in with his MO.
Oh, completely. But
use Evelyn that way.
But yeah, she was convincing. I'll tell you that.
yeah. She was using a hashtag no filter this week, with her and hashtag no makeup on her bruises and stuff like that. So, which I'm assuming were fake. I mean, I'm assuming he didn't really abuse her in any way. But who knows? She might have insisted on that or something. So. I don't know. The episode opens up a lot of questions.
Well, I have a couple predictions with what's going to happen with Felicity. I don't think she's going to be the bad guy. I think Helix will. I think it'll lead us into next season, and she will not know how to get out of Helix, and then Oliver will have to help her do that. I think like you said, Diggle will pull up a chair or a bar stool with Oliver. They'll pour some vodka or something and have their little, Mr. Brady chat. And I still stand by my prediction that I think that Oliver will reveal himself to Star City as Green Arrow by the end of the season.
I think that's still a good bet. I think that would be a smart way to go, at least to open up stuff for a season 6. I agree with that.
Yeah. That's where I think. Now, there's a couple things in this season that I think could still come into play before the end of the season. And we, like you said, we only have, what'd you say, six episodes
left? Six episodes left, yeah, six.
I don't know how they'll do this, but there's two things, two loose ends just hanging up there that they've kind of left dangling that could very well come into play. One of them is Vigilante.
Right. Yes, I feel like they owe us something more with Vigilante.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've really set him up to do something. He really hasn't done much. I mean, if the storylines had been centered around him, or if he was the big bad or something like that, that I could understand, but that they just set him up for something. Even Prometheus has confronted him, and so, or her. And so I think that is going to come into play. The other thing is Rory. Now, unless that character is off the show because the actor had some other things going, that could be, but I haven't heard anything about that. Otherwise, he's still out there. Ragman is still out there.
Well, but didn't they? I feel like that ended because the rags, after protecting everybody from the nuclear explosion, he said the rags really don't work anymore.
I agree. I agree. I mean, that this as far as the storyline goes, that is fine. But again, it just seems like they set him up to be kind of an important part of the team, and then it just sort of stopped. So, and maybe that one won't come into play as much as Vigilante. I was just two things that have happened this season that I don't feel like had strong, definitive conclusions.
Well, maybe could he be? I mean, I guess he could be Vigilante as well.
Yeah, it's possible. I wouldn't really fit in with his character much, but.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of different little things that that I'd like them to clear up. I don't know. I just don't know what they will. But good things to think about, though. Definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we had a little bit of feedback this week. Monica wrote to us on Twitter, and this was from our last week's episode. She said she was listening to last week's episode. She says, "I knew as soon as Mrs. Chase was brought in, he was going to kill her. I was yelling at my TV, LOL. I knew she wouldn't be in on it, like I was thinking she probably would be, because they did not reveal with because they did that reveal with Damian Dark and his wife. So I knew or hoped they'd change it up. But as soon as Chase said tearily, you shouldn't have brought her, I was like, ah, bleep, she's dead." So that's cool. Yeah, that was a really fun moment. I enjoyed that as well. So, and you know, normally we do references here, but there really wasn't much. It was,
no,
you know,
other than referencing the first season, there really wasn't too much.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, Josh, I'm really interested to see where we're going to go for the rest of the season here. Like I said, we've only got six more episodes, so there'll be some time to discuss stuff, but it'll be over before we know it, and then we'll have some other interesting things to think about as we move into the sixth season. But for now, that's all we've got for that's all we've got for this week's episode of Green Justice.
We hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I would love to hear what you thought of it. Tell us how you felt about any of our thoughts. And this is a crazy, crazy chapter of the Green Arrow for this show. And but this character that has such a long history in the comic books, I love that they are taking him to this place where we have to think so much psychologically about him. So tell us what you guys think. Where do you think he's going to go from here? We would also love to have feedback on iTunes. So pop over on iTunes there and write us a review, and that lets people know about our show, and they can join in on the discussions with us and tell us how they're feeling and what they speculate about. If you want to just talk to us directly, though, you can send us an email, greenjustice@randomchatter.com, or you can visit us on Twitter at Green Justice Pod, and of course our Facebook page where you can find images and discussions and news and things like that. Facebook.com/Green Justice Podcast.
Well, you can also check out the other shows that we host, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, which will be back the first week of April, and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. All can be found at randomchatter.com. You can also find shows in the iTunes Store or through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And of course, if you enjoy the podcast, please be sure to tell your friends. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed this city.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.